Welcome to Raw, where we hear true, unfiltered stories from real women in the actuarial profession. For the next half hour, you get to hear stories, advice, and all the latest tea from some of the industry's best and brightest. Wondering how the highest paid women asked for raises, how they became the first woman in their company C-suite, how allies can help them on their journeys. Get it all directly from the women who've lived it. This is Raw.
Hello, listeners. Today, I'm joined by Jessie Kildo, who is a consulting actuary with Milliman in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and obtained her fellowship with the Society of Actuaries in 2020. She works in a non-traditional actuarial role and is passionate about improving the cost and quality of healthcare in the United States through alternative payment models. Jessie supports the network of actuarial women and allies through her role on NAWA's Leadership Council and volunteers each week with Braven, an organization with a mission to empower promising, underrepresented young people. Outside of her career and volunteer commitments, Jessie enjoys running, backpacking, and hiking with her dog, Moose. Welcome, Jessie.
Thank you so much, Lizzie, for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm happy for you to be here. Okay, so we'll start with the same question we ask everyone. How did being a woman influence your career as an actuary?
What a great question to start with. And so far, I've really been enjoying hearing everyone's responses on this podcast so far. For me personally, being a woman and growing up in the environment I did left me with a really strong need and desire to prove myself, right? Like, I was always encouraged to go to college, right? Like, it is a pretty gender-friendly environment we have today. But my parents were also like, boys should take care of girls and like men should do all the work and women kind of sit around. And like, for example, when I was little, you know, my family has this huge tradition of going to deer hunting camp and girls were not allowed. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Like forbidden. They're like, this is not a place for women. So growing up with that, when I was little, I was so devastated to hear that, like, it was something that I couldn't do because of my gender. In hindsight, I have zero desire to go to deer camp. Like, that sounds absolutely miserable. But like, when I was little, it just seemed like I was getting excluded from something. So very much felt like I had to, prove myself. And unfortunately, when I entered the workforce, what this translated into was a desire so strong to prove myself and that I could keep up with the boys that it turned into some really poor work-life balance, right? Like, I just felt I need to be working every minute, weekends, nights, sacrificing all aspects of my life for my career. And also having just like a really strong perfectionist mindset where like, I just felt I had to be 100% every minute of every day, nights, weekends, whatever. I know you and I were both on NAWA's annual meeting last week where, our keynote speaker talked a lot about this, right? Like, women feeling like they had to be absolutely perfect. So I very much resonated, with that speech and felt like that impacted the early days of my career quite a bit.
Yeah. Do you think that drive to prove yourself helped you in any way and like made you more motivated? Or do you think it was like detrimental to your work-life balance at least?
Like, in the short term, certainly it helped, right? Like, I did well in the early days of my career. I was billing a ton of hours. I got a lot of attention, did well in my performance review. But what I realized a couple years in is my approach was not sustainable and the exhaustion was definitely a factor, right? Like, I was getting notes in my performance review, like, does great job, clearly needs more sleep, which is like not a great sign if people in the office are realizing they're badly sleep deprived.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So, it was a balance. Certainly I got good things out of it, but in the long run, it was definitely not something I could keep up with.
Yeah.
And so I did, you know, so I was starting to burn out, starting to be really exhausted all the time. And I also started to notice that the people around me and the people I looked up to were not having the same approach to work as me, right? Like, they didn't come to work and be absolutely perfect because that's impossible. And they didn't work the long hours that I did. They maintained their life outside of work. And so I started to like reevaluate my approach to work. So I started to transition out of that like obsessive perfectionist mindset and really adopted two approaches that have worked better for me. So I prioritize better, right? Like, I can see like these are the most important things that I need to focus on. And that includes things like family, friends, working out, like calling my mom when she wants to talk, whatever it is. But then that means that sometimes the work, other work things slide, right? Like the non-important things. And then I've also started to become more comfortable with taking risks, again, trying to adopt the approach that our annual meeting speaker was advocating for, and just realizing that if I want to move up, I can't be perfect every day.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think helped make you switch out of that perfectionist mindset?
Mentors, absolutely. I think seeing people who were successful but didn't have the same obsessive approach that I did was really encouraging. And I was also fortunate that a lot of those people were willing to sit down and have conversations with me, like, how do you let things slip in the interest of long-term success? How do you, you know, leave your inbox out of control so you can get sleep? And they were really, really helpful in helping me transition my mindset.
That's awesome. Did you notice any change in your performance reviews after you got a better work-life balance? Like, were they better? Were you not getting those reviews of like, Jesse needs more sleep anymore? Like, was there any change you noticed?
It was somewhat surprised. So to be honest, I thought my performance was going to deteriorate. It's like, you know, I'm not billing as much. People are going to be upset, whatever.
Right.
And it was the opposite. I actually did quite a lot better on my performance reviews and continue to do so, in large part because I'm bringing more value, right? Like, because I'm exercising and sleeping and taking time for my hobbies and my passions, I'm doing less at work. But when I'm at work, I'm like more creative, problem solving better, better mentorship, better leadership skills. And ultimately, those are the most important things, right? Like, clearing out our inbox at the end of the day really doesn't matter that much. You know, like, it's gonna, the emails are always gonna be there. And so I found that my performance as at work has improved quite a lot, just because I'm able to deliver in higher value ways.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did you actually clear out your inbox every single day? I have never been able to do that.
Yeah, I did. I would, like, I'm not kidding you. It's like, when I'm 100% good on work, then I'll do other stuff, which is not a good approach. I haven't seen the bottom of my inbox since, like, you know, 2021. Like, since I started.
Yeah, same.
No way it's possible. But no. Yeah, it's okay. And like, sometimes people get upset that I didn't respond to an email or whatever. Like, I don't want to say this approach is flawless, right? Like, sometimes bad things do happen, but ultimately they're bad things that don't really matter in the long run because I'm prioritizing the more important stuff now.
Right. And I think bad things still happen even when you're in that perfectionist mindset too. Like, the perfectionist mindset does not prevent things from going wrong.
Right. Agree.
Cool. So what, like, new things have you been able to pick up now that you have a better work-life balance?
Like inside of work or outside of work or both?
Both.
I think the biggest thing is outside of work, and part of this is natural, but like, I found the more people grow up, essentially, the more we just have on our plate, right? Like, when I graduated from college, I was like, I don't have any, you know, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't, you know, have a dog or any responsibilities. So it's easier to be career focused. But now I have a dog, I have a husband, we got married this year, you know, I had to do the wedding. We're going to be parents in the near future. So it's like, naturally, a lot of stuff gets added to people's plates as they get older. And, you know, I assume that's an experience that a lot of people, and in particular women, go through. So balancing that has been a challenge, but this mindset has allowed me to make space for those things.
Yeah, definitely. Tell me a little bit about your career journey from college to now.
Yeah, so I have worked at the same place full time. Since I graduated college, I interned a few places and found that healthcare consulting was just like the best fit for me. Even today, I still love like the fast paced environment that consulting provides. So I graduated 2016 from Wisconsin and started at Milliman full time, and I've been there ever since. My career journey has changed a couple ways since I've been there. One, you know, going through all this work-life balance mindset shift, I've definitely changed the way I approach my work. But my career journey within Milliman has shifted a lot as well. So very much an individual contributor when I started, as most people do right out of college. And then in more recent years, I've transitioned to being in management and maybe looking forward in the near future, looking more towards like a leadership role, leading the team. So the skill sets needed for all those have changed quite a bit. So even though I've been at the same company, I do think my career has evolved quite a bit in the short amount of time since I graduated.
Yeah, that's awesome. What was your transition to management like?
Hard. I think, like, you know, I'm curious how you feel about this, but there, like, I think being a perfectionist as an individual contributor sometimes works well because you just control everything that you do, right? Like, I'm doing the work and then I pass it off to the next person and I don't have to worry about anyone underneath me. I'm very much in a spot now where I cannot control everything that goes on. There's just too many people on my team now. And so I really have to trust that they know what they're doing and that they're going to do a good quality work. Of course, I'm reviewing, right? And like seeing everything, but I'm not checking every formula. And so it's been a good exercise for me to transition out of that perfectionist mindset, take a risk and be comfortable trusting others, even though I'm not able to control everything.
Yeah. I think the transition into people leadership, definitely you have to like let go of that desire to like be in control of everything, because it really is up to your individual contributors to like be in the weeds and stuff. And you're kind of at this higher level.
Yeah. And I wonder, Laura, like our keynote speaker and the annual meeting talked a lot about how perfectionists, like we could call it like the perfectionism fallacy, maybe, tends to impact women more than men. Certainly there's, you know, that's generalizing, but I do wonder if that limits or is part of the reason why women are moving up to leadership last. You know, if we're stuck in this perfectionism mindset and feel like we need to say yes to everything and be in control of everything, then that might be, we might be limiting ourselves, I guess, in our ability to move up into higher level roles.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things I heard you saying that resonated a lot with me is when you're told that you don't belong in a certain space, like with your family being told you couldn't go on these hunting trips, you know, it hurts. And you have this desire to prove like, no, I can do whatever I want, even if it's not a thing I would have chosen for myself, like hunting. If you tell me I can't, then that's just going to make me want to prove that I can. And not that the actuarial profession directly tells women they don't belong here. For sure, it's like, especially now trying to transition more to like being more inclusive. Mm-hmm. But because it is a male dominated field, there is kind of that subliminal messaging of like, you know, just because of the way the majority of the people in this industry look, that you do on a subconscious level kind of receive the messaging of like, oh, do I belong here? Like, I feel like I need to prove that I do. Mm-hmm. And I think a very natural response to that environment is to go into this like hyperdrive of like, I must prove that I'm good enough for this industry. So I think the response of the perfectionism mindset totally makes sense. And maybe that is part of why you don't see as many women as you go up in this field, because if you get stuck in that perfectionist mindset, it is harder to move into roles like people leadership.
Yeah, agreed. I do think it is quite possible though. And it's quite encouraging to hear from people like our keynote that are very successful and like they did it well. And, you know, even if we don't necessarily have women in leadership in our own companies or our own mentorship circles, I'm so grateful for organizations like NAWA who can just like give women leaders and other companies a platform. And like, I feel like we've seen so many empowering women through NAWA and through our webinars and stuff. And it's been really great for me to see like, oh, they did it. Like what the advice they're sharing is so relevant and helpful to me. That has also been a really great support system as I think about transitioning and trying to get out of that perfectionism mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as representation continues to improve for women in this field, less of the up and coming women will get that subliminal messaging of like, oh, do I belong here? Because if you come into the actuarial profession, and I've actually talked to a couple women who had this experience, but if you come into the actuarial profession with a bunch of women and you don't have that subconscious messaging of like, this is a man's field, then like, you don't feel pressured into that perfectionism mindset of I need to prove that I belong here. And rather you just come in feeling like, oh, I do belong here. Everybody here looks like me. Well, not everybody, but there's representation of people who look like me in this field. Therefore, I don't have to prove I belong here. through this perfectionism hyperdrive mindset.
Yeah, agree. And I think there's also like a potential risk, even when we do have women mentors, that if they're on this perfectionism hamster wheel, and that's what like we see looking up, then that's what we're going to feel like we have to do. And so it's been on my mind lately of like, not only is my mindset shift helping me, but I'm hopeful that, you know, having a better mindset and like setting a better example for the people below me will help break that cycle a little bit. So certainly good motivation for me to be stepping back.
Yeah, I definitely think setting the example of a good work-life balance is the best way to encourage the women coming up to not feel like they need to have that mindset either.
Yeah, just as an example, there's one woman at my company who's only a couple years older, but she's like superstar, like does everything right, promoted so fast, whatnot. And then she took a 5-month maternity leave. And that was so like earth shattering to me. I was like, whoa, like you can do that and still be successful. And it like helped me think about having kids in a different mindset and helped me think about my career a lot better. So it's so cool that I had that experience of like someone I look up to is, you know, taking time off and taking time for themselves, even though they're just like wildly successful at their own career. You can do both, I think, even if it's not all exactly at the same time.
Yeah, taking time off is so important, like especially just vacation time, like not even mm-hmm. maternity, obviously, but like also just your vacation time every year is so important.
Yeah. Oh, man, my vacations have been so much better since I've transitioned out of this like intense, you know, 100% effort every day. I used to work a lot on vacations or have a really hard time stepping away. I even like canceled a couple weekend trips. It's like, I have to work, blah, blah. And now it's like, I feel recharged when I get back. And it's just nice to get a break from work, even if the vacation itself is active. It's like, well, I'm not, you know, checking my emails all day long.
Yeah. I don't know what Milliman does for platforms they use, but for me, at least, having Teams on my phone has been like such a blessing and a curse, because like mm-hmm. during the workday it's nice to have like the app on my phone, because if I'm on a break for lunch or something and someone texts, like puts on the Teams app like, hey, we need to have an emergency meet, it's nice to have. But when I'm on vacation, like I have to silence it, because otherwise I'm still getting like the meeting notifications and people pinging me, and I really want to unplug when I'm on vacation from work.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, definitely, I agree. It's a trade-off of having everything right there. It's so tempting sometimes. I've been really successful. Like I even do this in my day to day on like weekends or after 6 p.m. on weeknights. There's like, at least iPhones have this, but they have different settings, right? So you can be like mute Outlook and Teams and everything else will come through. And so I've been trying to use that in my day to day. And I guess I could, you know, do it on vacation too, of just like, I'm not seeing anything from Teams or Outlook. And that's really, really helpful.
Yeah. All right, Jesse, we will transition the interview into our last question, and that is, what is one raw piece of advice for women actuaries that you want to share?
I think maybe a couple things to think about. Well, the raw piece of advice is just to establish work-life balance and boundaries that works for you, that produces good quality work and is sustainable. Ultimately, you know, I worry that women, like, well, many people and women in particular, do 100% on everything and then they burn out and quit or quiet quit or whatever. And ultimately, it's best for both ourselves and our companies if we can be in a sustainable spot and perform to the best of our abilities. So maybe a couple things to think about is, I highly encourage everyone to, like, step one, just identify what's important to you, right? Like both within work and outside of work. Like I got married this summer and that was going to be more important than work for a little bit, and that's fine. And then two, once you know what those things are, prioritize heavily, like do a really good job on those things that are most important. And then once, you know, you're doing good on those and most important things, set boundaries around everything else, right? Like I time box my email. I'm only spending an hour a day and that's it. And then just trust that, like, because you're already prioritizing the most important things, if small things fall through the cracks, like that's okay in the long run. It might be painful in the short run and so tempting to try and address them, but in the long run, it's actually going to be better. And then I think maybe most importantly for everybody is work-life balance is going to be unique, right? Like it's different for every person. And even I've realized for me, it changes like year to year or even month to month. And so just being confident and setting your own boundaries and doing the best you can do within your limits. And it doesn't matter if the person in the office next to you is doing something different. Like, that's their decision. It's just like work-life balance is going to look different. And it's okay if that changes over your career.
Awesome. That's great advice, Jesse. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope everyone finds this helpful. I'm certainly not the expert on work-life balance at all. I'm still learning, but because I was so bad at it, I do hope that I can provide some advice to anyone listening to this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, you can join NAWA to get all our latest podcasts and resources for empowering women actuaries at nawaactuaries.org. That's nawaactuaries.org. Our music is Divertimento in G by Haydn, performed by Lindley Baker, and our logo was designed by Haley Osterkorn, both women actuaries. If you're a woman actuary or ally who wants to get involved with our show, you can email us directly at ally@nawaactuaries.org. That's ally@nawaactuaries.org.